mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, so what exactly is new with Medicare in 2025? New research finds many recipients don't know or don't fully understand the significant reforms coming to Part D. We'll explain the changes and why they matter. Also in our community and business spotlight this morning, the Downtown Findlay restaurant tour is coming up soon, presented by the United Way of Hancock County in support of their ongoing Halt Hunger initiative. And the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library is celebrating 10 years of association with the Dolly Parton Imagination Library and gearing up for their 9th annual Author Fest. We'll find out what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. There are now less than 2 weeks until the election. It's 2 weeks from yesterday, the presidential election. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel if you are tired of all of the campaigning, which I think everyone is at this point. One of the big narratives since 2020 has been election integrity. And here's the story off the Newswire this morning. With less than 2 weeks to go, Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost's office is investigating claims of illegal early voting in the state. More than 600 election integrity referrals have been made by Secretary of State Frank LaRose since August. The majority of the cases that remain open involve improper voter registration. So just voter registration is potentially improper, whether or not any of those improperly registered individuals attempted to vote. The story does not say. So far, just 6 indictments have been handed down as a result of the investigation by the Attorney General. So that's kind of where that stands in the state of Ohio. Just 6 indictments among more than 600 election integrity claims or referrals thus far. And that's where things stand in the state of Ohio. Just kind of interesting. A couple of other Ohio-related stories making headlines that kind of caught my eye this morning. Among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. You know, recreational marijuana in the state of Ohio is legal and has been for a while now. And it's generating a lot of tax revenue, a lot of sales, recreational marijuana. However, more Ohio children are being accidentally exposed to marijuana-related products, specifically gummies. According to the Central Ohio Poison Center, the number of children age 5 and under that have accidentally ingested marijuana edibles this year is 5 times what it was in 2019. And that's probably not surprising, given the fact that in 2019 it was illegal, so fewer people likely had marijuana edibles than do these days. So naturally, those numbers are going to go up. As of October 10th, there have been nearly 600 accidental exposures of marijuana to kids under the age of 12 in Ohio, 75% of those cases among kids age 5 or younger. And officials say the numbers are only expected to increase as marijuana, recreational marijuana, legalized recreational marijuana becomes more commonplace in the state of Ohio. So let that serve as a reminder to get the stuff out of the reach of children. Because they just look like regular candies, and especially young kids don't know the difference, obviously. So, you know, adults can tell, but kids, not always. By the way, speaking of candy, man, there were some kids that got a huge haul at the 2024 Cops and Kids Findlay Halloween Parade last night. Were you there? Beautiful weather. Beautiful weather. My wife Kyra and I were honored to be the masters of ceremony for our broadcast on air and online. In case you missed the parade, you can go back and relive it with the video on our Facebook page. You can go back and see if you or your kids were on the live stream. There are a lot of kids that were taking part in the parade. not just there to collect the candy. And it was great. I mean, I don't know that I have ever had a Halloween parade that has enjoyed such beautiful weather. I mean, it was just absolutely, absolutely gorgeous. Can't say enough about the crowds, too. I mean, terrific crowds and a lot of folks, some terrific floats. I think the winning floats, the judge's results are going to be posted on the Fort Findlay FOP Lodge 20 Facebook page sometime today. I checked and they're not there yet. And we did not get the information on who the winners were. But those are going to be posted, I believe, later on today at some point. So, and there were some really creative floats, some really terrific entries that you could tell people, organizations, businesses spent a lot of time and a lot of thought putting together and making happen. So kudos to all involved in the parade. And I thought the best candy, I mean, most of the, not everybody was handing out candy. I mean, one of the farms, the local produce farms, they were handing out apple cider, little cups of apple cider. That was kind of cool. That was different. And the Kiwanis Club is handing out candy canes to remind people about Santa's house, which is, you know, that's right around the corner now. So I thought that was pretty creative. I mean, it was candy, but it was candy canes to, you know, promote Santa's house. I thought that was rather clever. So pretty cool stuff. A couple of other items here among the first things you need to know this morning. The most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Speaking of things that we should and should not be eating, hopefully your kids will take it easy on the candy and you'll kind of meter that so they don't gobble it all down in one sitting. This I thought was kind of interesting, a study from the University of Arkansas, speaking of food. If you are a fan of plant-based burgers, you know, meat alternatives, it appears that you might need to eat more of them. According to this study, again out of the University of Arkansas, they found that traditional beef burgers stimulate muscle growth more effectively than soy-based alternatives. So those who eat plant-based burgers need to eat twice as much to achieve the same muscle-building effect, according to this research. They say while both beef and soy are considered complete proteins, the amino acids in actual beef are simply more available for the muscle to use efficiently. It's according to Dr. Robert Wolf, the lead researcher of this study for the University of Arkansas. So, you eat natural beef and build muscle more quickly. Interesting. I guess it's not really a surprise, is it? It's not really a surprise. But now you know there's scientific evidence of this. And I thought this was an interesting factoid. I'll just throw this out here for you this morning. See if you have encountered this and made this observation yourself. You remember back during the pandemic, we finally impressed on people the importance of hand washing, regular hand washing and personal hygiene, right? Everybody was doing this. They were washing their hands religiously. Well, now, 4 years on, it appears that we are back to our old unsanitary ways. A new survey finds that 19% of us do not wash our hands each time we use the restroom. We go to the bathroom, 19% do not wash their hands. Again, you remember back during the pandemic when everybody was very hygiene conscious. You didn't wash your hands. You got, you know, the dirty looks from everybody around you, right? I don't know whether everybody did this in their homes like they did when they were in public, but it seemed everybody, at least in public, they were washing their hands every chance you got. And now we've gone back to our former ways. 19% do not wash their hands every time they use the bathroom. 42% confess to not always washing their hands before handling food. And men, more so than women, are guilty of this. And those under the age of 65, those age 65 and up, wash their hands 86% of the time after using the facilities. But it says here, according to the survey, and they asked why are you not washing your hands? And it turns out that many people skip the hand washing due to a low illness threat perception, meaning that they don't believe that they are at risk of getting sick just because they didn't wash their hands, which may or may not be true. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a health professional myself. I just think that it's kind of gross. So, no, I think we should get back to that. That was one of those things that you kind of hoped with the pandemic that that was a permanent shift in behavior, but apparently not. So there you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly sunny today, a high in the lower 70s, mostly clear tonight, a low around 40. The City of Findlay says MetroNet, a regulated utility, is doing work within the right-of-way. The city points out this is not a city-contracted or funded project. Anybody with questions, comments, or concerns should contact MetroNet's customer service directly, and we have their number and email in the story on our website. The city says all employees are legally contracted through the firm and are paying the required taxes while working in the Findlay area. In this story on our website are some frequently asked questions about MetroNet, including, I've received information from MetroNet. Who are they? And who are these people in my yard? Are they allowed to be there? You can get the answers to those questions and more in this story on our website. A process known as fracking has been approved to be carried out in a state wildlife area in eastern Ohio.
In Carroll County, southeast of Canton, the Oil and Gas Land Management Commission has approved 62 acres in the Leesville Wildlife Area for lease for fracking. Protesters at the meeting vocally opposed the designation of more than 15% of the land, which is home to wildlife and used for hiking and hunting. A similar action impacting hundreds of acres of Salt Fork State Park has been delayed. Save Ohio Parks opposes fracking and is launching an educational campaign about the dangers of the process.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Saturday is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, and Hancock County's fall collection event for old and unused medications will be held from 8 to noon at the Findlay Municipal Building parking lot on West Crawford Street. Adamus, the Hancock County Board of Alcohol, Drug Addiction, and Mental Health Services, says as part of the collection effort, Narcan kits provided by Hancock Public Health will be available to anyone who wants one. Narcan is a medicine that rapidly reverses an opioid overdose, and officials believe the increased availability of the medication is one of the reasons for the significant drop in fatal drug overdoses in the county. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, now that we are into the annual enrollment period for Medicare, it is important to know that there are some significant changes on the horizon for Part D that apparently many recipients don't know about. Recent national polling from the Pan Foundation's Center for Patient Research found that 87% of Medicare enrollees have not seen, read, or heard anything about these reforms, these changes. Amy Niles is with us this morning. She is Chief Mission Officer with the Pan Foundation. And Amy, I wonder, could it be that perhaps they have heard about some of this, but maybe they weren't really paying attention because they thought it didn't apply to them?
That may very well be a possibility, and you know, we're just seeing more and more information be put out there, you know, through the Pan Foundation, of course,
yeah.
But other great resources like Medicare, because as you said, it is open enrollment season, and now is the time to learn about these important changes.
And certainly to a certain extent, people can be forgiven for not understanding or hearing about this, maybe forgetting about this, because there are so many things when it comes to Medicare open enrollment that, you know, recipients get bombarded with. But whatever the reason, in any event, we want to change this awareness gap this morning. So what are these two major changes to the Medicare Part D program that start January 1?
Yes, two very important changes beginning in the matter of a couple of months. And the first is a new $2,000 Medicare Part D cap. And the second is a voluntary, what we call Medicare prescription payment plan, both going into effect January 1, 2025. And these two changes are going to impact people on Medicare who have Part D plans. Those are the plans that provide prescription drug coverage, mm-hmm. either through traditional Medicare or Medicare Advantage plans.
So for those who are affected, number one, what do they need to know about the Medicare Part D cap that you referenced?
Yes, the Medicare Part D cap is truly historic because for the first time, people on Medicare will have a limit on what they spend out of pocket for their drug costs. So in 2025, people on Medicare with Part D will not pay any more than $2,000 in out-of-pocket costs for their prescription medications. We know that $2,000 is still a lot of money for many, many people, mm-hmm. but we also know that for those living with serious illnesses, they may be used to, in the past, unfortunately, spending much more than $2,000.
Yeah.
So this change is a huge benefit and very important for the Medicare program.
And that is a cap on total medications or per prescription?
It is a cap on total medications
total.
To the Part D, as in David, program.
Okay.
So it doesn't cover drugs that may be under Part B, as in boy, but
okay.
all Part D drugs. And importantly, it is an automatic change. So people don't need to do anything. They will benefit automatically from this new reform.
Okay. And then the second part of this, the second reform, is, you said, the Medicare prescription payment plan. What is that all about?
Yeah, this is another important change, and it's a little bit more complicated than the Medicare Part D cap. The payment plan is a new voluntary payment option that will allow someone on Medicare Part D to spread their costs and payments of those drug costs throughout the calendar year. So instead of paying, you know, upfront for all of your drug costs, you can spread these out throughout the benefit year. Now, what's important to know about this change is that someone on Medicare needs to opt into this payment plan to benefit from it.
Okay.
And the best way to do that is by contacting their Part D plan, either calling them or visiting their website to opt into this program. Now is the perfect time to do that because it's open enrollment when people
right.
are evaluating their Part D plans. So get that done before this benefit goes into effect January 1.
Now, does this apply only to those enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan? I've noticed that many of these companies seem to be inferring in their advertisements that the only way to get prescription drug coverage is through one of these Advantage plans.
Well, you are correct in that many, probably more people than not, are enrolling in Medicare Advantage plans. And the beauty of both of these reforms is that anyone who is in a Part D plan, either through traditional Medicare or Medicare Advantage, will be able to benefit from
okay.
these changes. So,
okay.
so you're absolutely right. People with Medicare Advantage can benefit from these changes as
okay.
well.
So just want to clarify that point. Now, you have created at the PAN Foundation an online education resource for these Medicare reforms. And again, we've kind of hit the basics here, but to help people better understand and navigate these changes, what type of information can people find there? How does someone connect with those resources?
Yes, we at the PAN Foundation created an online Medicare reforms guide. That website is panfoundation.org/reforms. And we created this guide because we know Medicare is complicated, and this information about the changes coming is really important. So at panfoundation.org/reforms, people can find information about the different parts of the Medicare program, about the Medicare Part D cap, the payment plan, as well as other resources that might be beneficial to them, such as Medicare.gov.
A lot for people to digest between now and December 7th when the enrollment period closes. So now is the time to really start looking into this and trying to understand all of the implications here, because you don't want to be, as we've said before, you don't want to be rushed come, you know, the 1st of December, knowing that you only have a few days. You've got plenty of time now, so now is the time to start.
That's exactly right. And if one finds that the Medicare prescription payment plan is right for them, the earlier that they opt into that program, the better, simply because they will have more months to spread their costs.
Right. Again, Amy Niles is Chief Mission Officer with the PAN Foundation this morning, talking about these new Medicare Part D reforms. Amy, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Take care.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
The United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning, and CEO Kelly McClurkin is with us in the studio. In the middle of the campaign season, it is ongoing here, so this is a very busy time for
you folks. Yes, good morning, Chris. It's right down... literally in the middle of the campaign. So,
So talk a little bit about how that is going and what's going on right now with respect to the campaign. So, I guess it would be probably too early to get an update.
A little early, but things are rolling in. Our goal is $2.1 million.
Okay.
And one of the things that we fund is our Halt Hunger Initiative,
yes,
which battles hunger across Hancock County.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from supplying local food pantries, local food distributions, funding emergency food vouchers, to even facilitating SNAP at the farmers market. And we can backpack meals for kids when they're not in school.
Yeah, you've got a story about the backpack meals program.
I do. We truly have no idea the impact, the full impact of what our educators have on children's lives. And this is just one example. So backpack meals are just that. They're actually not backpack meals. They're in a little grocery bag. But mm-hmm. they are meals for kids who, you know, so they don't have to go hungry over the weekend.
Right.
It gets them through meals and snacks for the whole weekend. But since they are in that plastic bag, we have a story of one teacher who noticed, you know, their student was still struggling a little bit and found out that when she brought her backpack meal home, mm-hmm. or meals home, her parents would hear that crinkling of the grocery bag and take all the food from her. So in this particular case, this teacher would every Friday unpack that grocery bag, put it in her backpack, and give her instructions when she went home just to take it to her bedroom.
Wow.
So she could, you know, have those through the weekend. So it's just so, you know...
You think of all of the different ways that these programs will impact people, especially in a story like that. Not just the food, but even it's kind of a psychological
And the impact that educators have outside of school hours, I think, is kind of what you're getting, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It really trickles down further than just when they're in school.
Demonstrates the need, too, of programs like the Halt Hunger Initiative, one of the biggest. Now, that is, the campaign supports that, along with all of the other partner agencies.
Right.
Also, a big part of supporting the Halt Hunger Initiative, which is an ongoing initiative, as we know, is the Downtown Restaurant Tour.
Yes.
And you have that coming up next month.
We do. That's November 7th. Tickets are on sale. They go quickly.
Yeah, that's why we want to bring it up
left.
Now. Yeah.
But yeah, head to our website, uwhancock.org, and find that restaurant tour ticket button. And they're $40 a piece.
Okay.
All proceeds go to the Halt Hunger Initiative, which is several of our partner agencies that deal with food security. that raises $16,000 alone for the Hot Hungry.
Just for the
restaurant
tour. Just the restaurant tour. So for those who have not participated in this before, explain how it works.
So you purchase what's called a passport. It's just like your ticket, you know, to get from event to or from restaurant to restaurant. And it just showcases all of our gems downtown of, you know, restaurant tours. There is a little offering from each place.
Okay.
So no need to eat dinner. It is November 7th, a Thursday from 5 to 9, and you have that four-hour period to meander downtown. Yeah. Your ticket, it gives you a little map as well. You can scan a little map for all of the participating restaurants. I think we have 17. They're still kind of rolling in. We haven't heard from a few that do it every year. Yeah. So they're too busy to look at their emails.
How cool is that, that the response from the restaurants has been supportive, understanding the need and understanding how great it is?
Yes, the community support from the small business owners there is absolutely amazing. So we're really grateful for that.
Again, if folks want tickets to the downtown restaurant tour, they do typically sell out. There is a limited number of them. So how do folks get those?
You can jump on our website, uwhancock.org. There is a restaurant tour ticket button right on the homepage that you can click and purchase. If that is not your thing, you're welcome to call the office too if you know you're not technically savvy to do that.
Okay.
It is very easy, but you are welcome to call our office, and that's 419-423-1432.
More information on the website too about the Halt Hunger Initiative and about
and the restaurants that are included, all of it.
Yep. All going on right now. The United Way of Hancock County CEO Kelly McClurkin with us this morning. Kelly, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Now, this is a pizza with a special sauce. It's not garlic powder on this pizza. No. Authorities in Germany, this is from the International File, the broken news. Authorities in Germany discovered that a pizzeria in Dusseldorf was selling a secret side item with their pies. It was number 40. It was actually on the menu. Number 40 on the pizzeria's menu. And reportedly was one of their best-selling pizzas. It was a side of cocaine. Not garlic powder. Side of cocaine. Believe it or not, one of the best-selling. After receiving a tip from food inspectors, police started monitoring the pizzeria. They then visited the apartment of the manager, who responded by allegedly throwing a bag of cocaine, cannabis, and cash out of the window that fell right in the arms of the police officers. Not a criminal genius there. Once the manager was released from detention, police say he resumed selling the pizza with the side of coke, which led investigators to follow the supply chain and uncover a drug ring in Western Germany. Three suspects in all were arrested, including the 22-year-old head of the operation. The manager of the pizzeria was arrested while trying to leave the country. So they've shut that down. There's number 40 on the menu, pizza with a side of Coke. And we're not talking Coca-Cola here, no. It's one of their best sellers. One of their best sellers. Wow. That's bold. Let's see. Also from the broken news, International File, a woman in Australia is now on the mend after spending 7 hours wedged upside down between two huge boulders. The woman slipped into a 10-foot crevice in New South Wales. She was out hiking and fell into this 10-foot crevice upside down, head first. Her friends tried to free her, but they eventually had to call in some help in the remote area. Upon arriving on the scene, authorities needed to use a specialized winch to move a massive 1,100-pound boulder in order to get the woman out. And here's the crazy part of the story. How is it that she found herself wedged in between these two boulders? Apparently, her phone dropped into the crevice and she was trying to get it out. She was trying to retrieve her phone, and that's what led to that predicament. 23-year-old Matilda Campbell managed to stay calm throughout the ordeal, and after all of that, she didn't get to go home with her phone, which remained lost in the crevice in between the rocks. Hey, as long as you're moving the 1,100-pound boulder, can you get my phone there? I mean, but no, she never did get her phone back. Wonder how much that rescue cost. Probably more than the phone, I would imagine. You know, it's... Anyway. Let's see. Back in this country, a Houston mother is facing charges of child endangerment. And I don't mean to laugh about this, but it is kind of unusual how this happened. Her car was towed with her child still inside. Police say Brandy Rochelle Brown illegally parked her car outside of a bar in downtown Houston. Tow truck showed up to tow the car because it was parked illegally, took the vehicle away. While she was still inside the bar, what the tow truck driver didn't know until later was that there was a 3-year-old inside the car. She's not going to win any Mother of the Year awards for leaving her child in the car while it was parked illegally so that she could go to the bar. And then, to make matters worse, she got the car towed. Ms. Brown was placed under arrest. The child is going to be just fine, but had an unexpected adventure there, I guess. Crazy. Couple of, I guess we could call these celebrity encounters in the broken news. San Diego Harbor Police arrested a man who snuck onto a yacht belonging to Mark Zuckerberg over the weekend. The $300 million mega yacht was docked San Diego Harbor. It's not clear how the man got on board, but Harbor Police say Christopher Garrett was trespassing and throwing various items off of the boat into the water. They found out he's also wanted on outstanding warrants in the state of Florida, and they believe he was under the influence of methamphetamine at the time of his arrest. All right. Now, how much trouble can we get into today? You think you're going to sneak onto the boat of Mark Zuckerberg on his yacht and start throwing things in the water? Chances are good you're going to get caught. You're going to frown on that. And I thought this was an interesting story out of Florida. Ivan Mariotti has been arrested, accused of impersonating a security officer in order to gain access to Taylor Swift's concert at Hard Rock Stadium in Florida on Friday. Apparently, some actual security officers reported around 8:30 that there was a man dressed in a suit wearing a badge on the floor of the venue. When he was approached by actual authorities, Mr. Mariotti claims that he was paid as a private security guard to escort 4 women to the event. However, it turns out that's not exactly true. He was an Uber driver who transported 4 women to the event, but he was not by any means, according to one of the women, said, no, we just hired him to drive us to the show. He was not hired as a private security guard. But kudos for originality. I mean, he made the attempt to get into the concert for free, posing as a security guard. Didn't really pose any threat necessarily. Just wanted to get into the concert. Figured that was a way to do it. They hired me to bring him here to the concert, which is true, but just as an Uber driver. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is a promotion. This jumped out at me. This is not the kind of story that we typically have in the broken news, but I thought this was pretty funny. The Werther's Candy Company, you know, the Werther's original candies, Very popular. So Werther's is celebrating National Caramel Month, which I didn't realize there was National Caramel Month, but apparently it is. And they are holding a sweepstakes to give away a custom pair of jeans that they have created that has 30 pockets to carry Werther's original candies in your pockets to hand out to friends and your grandkids and all of that. Apparently, it has 30 pockets along the outer seam. The candy company is giving away 200 pairs of these jeans with the tiny pockets, line of tiny pockets on each leg where you can put the caramels so you can hand out the candy. Grandpa always had candies in his pocket. Now he has plenty of pockets for plenty of candies. That's very clever, very original. The sweepstakes are on the Werther's website. You can sign up to win one of 200 pairs of jeans, and entries close on Friday. So if you are so inclined to sign yourself up or your grandpa, you can do that until Friday. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
From October of 1938, WFIN is pleased to present War of the Worlds.
Now the smoke's spreading faster. It's reached Times Square. People are trying to run away from it, but it's no use. They're falling like flies.
War of the Worlds, presented on WFIN by Pete's Auto Service and Wolfies.
Listen Halloween night at 6 and happy Halloween from 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. What is your biggest regret in life? A new survey of 2,000 adults finds that only 11% of Americans have no regrets. 11%. I want to know who those 11% are. I mean, how can you go through life and not have any regrets? But 11% say they have no regrets. The top things that Americans regret doing include spending money or purchasing something that they really didn't need or couldn't afford. 49% say they've done that. Fighting with friends or family was next on the list of biggest regrets, 43%, and 36% regret making an unnecessary comment to someone or at someone or something. And it's the things that we don't do that I think may sting the most. 35% regret not pursuing their dreams. 36% regret not visiting family or friends enough. And 40% regret not speaking up in a situation when they should have. So those are the biggest regrets of things that we don't do or haven't done. In their lifetime, Americans average 3 missed chances to take a once-in-a-lifetime trip, 4 lost opportunities to ask their crush out on a date, and 6 instances of not having the perfect comeback in the moment during an argument. So there's lost opportunities. Maybe if, one of those is one of your regrets. I thought this was kind of interesting from the survey. Over the years, Americans also regret an average of 5 angry text messages they've sent and 2 breakups. On average, we regret 2 breakups in our lives, which is kind of interesting. Broken down by generation, 32% of baby boomers have at least one regret that they still remember 30 years or more later. 32% have at least one regret they remember 30 years or more later. Now, obviously, they've been around longer, so they're going to have those long-standing regrets. Millennials, on the other hand, their oldest regret is only about 11 years old, but they average fretting about that regret almost once a week, which is more often than any other generation. So older folks may have regrets from longer ago, but they don't think about them as often. So maybe as we age, we start to realize that everything happens for a reason. Maybe that's it. And as for that age-old question of what do you regret more, the things that you have done or the things that you have not done? So the answer from the survey, 32% of us regret things we have done, but 55% are more likely to regret the things that we haven't done. So what are your biggest regrets in life? And is it something that you have done or something that you have not done? Interesting to think about here this morning. Time now to get an update on what's happening at the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library. And there are a lot of things happening as we head to the month of November, which kind of hard to believe that we're talking about November already. Youth Services Manager Brittany Lutz is with us in the studio this morning. And first and foremost, given that you are familiar with all of the youth services, big anniversary coming up next month. It is a decade of involvement with the Dolly Parton Imagination Library.
Yeah, as wild as it is to believe, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library has been available in Hancock County for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's certainly a program that nationwide has gotten a lot of attention, but more so in the state of Ohio in the last couple of years as it's become a statewide program.
Mm-hmm.
So some people might only be familiar with it in the last, you know, like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But here in Hancock County, it's been available for 10 years.
That is amazing. How many, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, how many kids are signed up in Hancock County? Do you know? Do you have a count?
I do know. Okay. Yeah, it's about 2,500 kids.
Wow.
Between 0 and 5. 5 is the cutoff for
right.
that program,
mm-hmm.
Which is just over 50% of our eligible kids. So there's still a lot of kids out there that aren't signed up for that program that we're looking to reach. We want to get free books into their homes. If you've had a kid in the program before, you get different books. So it's absolutely worth signing up every single one of those kiddos.
So for those who don't know how this works, it's really simple. You sign up the kids and every month they get a new book.
Yes, absolutely. You can sign up online. You can do that through our website. You can do it through the Imagination Library website.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can come into the library, fill out a quick paper form, and we will have you in that system in the next couple of days, and you will start getting books 8 to 12 weeks later, but then they will come every month until that child turns 5 years old.
And just terrific books, all kinds of different topics and, you know, all of this, especially picked out each month, curated for those kids.
They are specially curated. It's called the Blue Ribbon Selection Committee. The Dollywood Foundation gets together a group of people who are very knowledgeable in child development, and they pick books. They pick 12 books for every single age group. So if you've got a 1-year-old in the program, they're going to be getting different books than the 4-year-old in the program.
So if you have 2 kids, then they're both going to get books. They are going to get different books.
They're going to get different books, yeah.
And this is a free program?
It is free to anybody who wants to sign up.
And you can actually support the program financially, though.
Absolutely. You know, it's free for, like, point of service, as we like to say.
Yeah.
But we're always looking for people who are interested in supporting the program. And it's, I think, it used to be $25. I think it's $26 will provide one child with a book for an entire year.
Okay. So, and the reason I bring this up, because I want to speak to grandparents, because I think this is a terrific thing that you can do for $26 for an entire year. So, you know, for $100 and a quarter, basically, $130, you can sponsor your grandchild to get all of those books from birth through age 5.
Yes, absolutely.
And if we could get grandparents to do that, that would cover the cost of all the, again, it's free to the families.
It's free to the families, but any families that are interested in supporting the program, another child gets is that we're able to keep doing that year to year.
Kind of paying it forward.
Yes, paying
it forward. It is terrific. So, again, 10 years of association with the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. So many benefits come from getting kids reading, even before they can read, looking at the books, being read to. That's the idea.
Absolutely. There are huge advantages to having books in the home. Mm-hmm. The science supports that, having books in the home is a critical connector in those early reading skills.
Everything builds off of reading. If you can't read, then you can't really do much of anything else when you get to the school age. You can't do science and the math and everything. All of that builds off of reading skills.
Reading is the foundation of all of that. And coming in with strong skills already sets you up for early success that will just follow you all the way through.
So if you don't, if you know a kid birth to age 5, it's not signed up, you can get signed up for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. It's a great program. So 10 years, so that a big, big deal. Also coming up, and this is right around the corner here, this year's Author Fest, and this is being held in conjunction with Art Walk on the 1st of November, I believe, right?
Yes, so Friday, November 1st, during Art Walk, the library will be open, not for regular service. You won't be able to check out or do computers or print.
But
we'll have the building open after hours. You can come in. We have 18 local authors that will be there. Yeah, you can buy books. You can get them signed if you want to. If you're thinking about Christmas already, it's a great time to pick up some books and support local writers.
Now, I know you've got the list of all of the authors that are participating on the website, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I was looking at it earlier, and there are, first of all, a lot more writers, published authors here in the area, in the region, than maybe what you realize. And it's such a wide variety of things that they are writing about.
Yeah, it's really amazing every year that we do this, the variety of authors, both in genre and in audience. So it's everything from children's book through adult, and they're writing romance and mystery and nonfiction, just all across the board. Whatever type of reader you are, you will probably find an author there who meets that interest.
Yeah, and a number of award-winning authors as well. Some pretty acclaimed authors at that.
It's impressive. Ohio actually has a wonderful resource of authors, and we're excited that 18 of them taken time out of their week to come and be at our event.
So you can pick up your next best read for those cold winter's nights where you're curled up in front of a fire and have it autographed and everything.
Yeah, and if you're looking for more great deals on books, our Friends of the Library will be open during that time for their book sale.
And what is first of all, give us the details on the book sale, because it's during Author Fest, but also throughout that weekend, right?
It's all day Friday, but yes, they will extend into those open hours after the library closes for main services that day, and then they'll also be open Saturday from 10 to 3. Okay. It's just we fill all the rooms in our lower level with books. It's everything from children's through teen, adults, all genres, all types of books.
And these are like extras from the collection, things that have been donated, kind of thing?
So a mix of things that we're no longer using for our collection, but also things that people have donated to us that we didn't have room for on the shelves, and we would love to see get a home somewhere else.
And the proceeds from the sale, what are those? So the Friends of the Library, what do you use the funds there for?
Yeah, so the Friends of the Library, all the funds that they raise then go back into supporting the library and library programs. They support our summer read program with that funding. They send my staff to the Mazo conference. They, if you've ever been in the library and picked up one of our book page that has all of the titles from that month and the author interviews, that's something that the Friends pay for the public to have access to with all of that funding. They do so much support for us, and we're lucky to have them. But yes, that funding comes from things like this sale.
Yeah, so you can get a new read and help out the library at the same time. It's truly a win-win situation. Anything else that we want to highlight? I know those are some of the big things in November. Real quickly, anything else that we want to call attention to?
Because I forgot when we were talking about the Imagination Library anniversary that we are having a celebration.
Ah, okay.
Connected to that.
Yeah.
So that is Saturday, November 16th.
Okay.
November is our anniversary month, but that day we will specifically be having events at the library to celebrate. It's from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. We'll have activities. We have a bunch of local partners that are coming in. Parton and doing stuff that are themed with the Dolly Parton books.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
You said 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. I was like, you're going to be
1 p.m. 1 p.m.
Okay.
And we have a special guest, Llama Llama, will be there to
awesome. Greet
the kids. You can meet Llama Llama, get your picture taken. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah, that is going to be fun. And that's the 16th, you said?
November 16th.
Okay, so circle that on the calendar for sure. Again, Youth Services Manager Brittany Lutz from the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library with us this morning talking about things coming up in the month of November. Sounds like it's going to be a very busy month. We've got a link on our webpage at goodmornings.net for more information, particularly about Author Fest. You can check out all of the authors that are going to be here for that on November 1st. And Brittany, thanks very much for dropping by. And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we are quickly coming up on what is, for many, the most financially stressful time of the year. All the demands of the holiday season have a cost attached to them, but we have some advice to ease some of that anxiety. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.